Book 3, Chapter 4 is quite an interesting dynamic and historical analysis of the economic relationships between towns and the countryside. It's titled, How the Commerce of the Towns Contributed to the Improvement of the Country. Smith cites a number of mechanisms through which the growth of cities and towns is good for agriculture. For instance, Smith notes that people in cities buy farm goods, of course, to eat. This spurs the cultivation of crops, and it gives further incentives for improvements in the land. Smith also argues that over time, merchants buy up farmland and they improve it, and he argues that merchants are among the groups most likely to introduce actual improvements into agriculture. Finally, and this is quite important for Smith, commerce brings order and good government in general to a country, but also to the agricultural reasons, and having order and good government is really very good for the productivity of agriculture, among other matters. On this entire question, Smith cites the authority of David Hume, who was himself a fan of commerce and its beneficial effects. Smith lays out those arguments in quite an articulate and often convincing manner. But what's striking for Smith is just how gradual those processes are, and even though this is a discussion of synergies, it's also part of Smith's account of how it is exactly that in some key ways European agriculture has lagged behind. For Smith's discussion of another gradual process, let's consider his account also in this chapter of How Commerce Altered Feudalism. Smith now considers the choice calculus of a family. Imagine, for the purposes of this comparison, a wealthy aristocratic family, and one thing that family can do, according to Smith, is basically use its money to maintain families, as Smith puts it. The way to think about this is that essentially you would have something like, say, a feudal lord supporting workers who then farm the land and produce crops. You can think of the feudal lord as supporting some number of farm workers. Alternatively, you can imagine those feudal lords taking their money and instead supporting tradesmen and artificers, or in other words, spending it on retail, spending it on goods, spending it on consumption. Arguably, these are not even feudal lords anymore. They're taking their money and spending and investing it in a market economy. And Smith points out, by doing it this way, actually in the longer run, you're maintaining an even larger number of families, because the tradesmen, the merchants, and so on, well, they will be buying farm goods. So you still have the farm goods being supported, but in this manner you have a more advanced economy, you have a more commercial economy, it requires less patronage, and the means of support are actually more diverse, because rather than having a feudal lord directly supporting some number of peasants, the chains of support are more commercial and more indirect. Smith thus sees an evolutionary passage out of feudalism, and about the feudal lords he wrote this, and I quote, "Having sold their birthright, not unlike Esau, for a mess of pottage in time of hunger and necessity, but in the wantonness of plenty, for trinkets and baubles." And this is Smith writing about commercial society displacing feudalism. Precisely because of these options for luxury and also commerce, Smith also wrote, quote, "Very old families are rare in commercial countries," and by that he meant moneyed and landed families established traditionally. Again, I stress that in Smith's account, these are basically slow effects, and they do improve the economy and they improve agriculture, but they're not actually the best way to get economic growth. What Smith is trying to do in this chapter, I think, is explain why there's been growth at all and commercialization, but also show that there is possibly a better way. And for Smith, that better way is represented by the North American colonies, and he stresses that their advancement has been more rapid. This, of course, is a picture of modern North America at Niagara Falls. For Smith, North America didn't need all these slow, gradual mechanisms because their model of economic growth, which has been highly successful, is based upon small proprietors and owning small pieces of land held by independent farmers, and this is spurring growth really very rapidly and allowing the North American colonies to leapfrog over the mother country, England. Smith closes by reiterating a core critique of the European growth model. He worries that it has too much primogeniture and too many perpetuities which maintain great estates and lock up land for long periods of time held by traditional families, and that this hinders small farms owned by independent proprietors, and that is why, in his view, most of the European continent is experiencing slower economic growth.